Pod Culture, episode 390, Blasts from the Past. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 100,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Pod Culture. Our continuing mission to explore geek things, to seek out new candies and new soda pop, to boldly go where no nerd has gone before.
Hey guys, it's Brad. The crew and I are taking a break this week. You know, we have Dragon Con and our upcoming 400th episode to get ready for. So we're decided to take the week off. But don't forget, we've got some great stuff for you. We picked out some of our favorite moments from about 8 years that we've been doing this show. And hope you guys like them as well. Some going all the way back to year one. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Over the lips, through the gums, watch out, stomach. Here it comes.
Yes, indeed.
We're back.
Here we go.
With more geek cuisine. And yes, it's the one thing that might rival Jones Soda.
I kind of hate you right now.
Adam.
Yeah, but you bought him.
That was me.
No. You bought him.
Yeah, it's all on Adam on this. And we're back with geek cuisine, and we have once again Four Loko.
Oh,
tres locos.
We just
it's Four Loko, but there's only three locos in
the
house.
How do you say minus in Spanish?
I don't know.
Fuck if I know.
Four minus one.
Minoso.
But we have cranberry lemonade Four Loko.
It's disgusting.
I can now smell it.
It's disgusting,
and I'm not even trying.
Holy
to.
God.
It smells like turpentine.
Ripple. Yeah, a little bit.
It's all on you, bud.
You
bought it.
You bought it.
You
pulled
you
it out of the fridge.
You bought it.
Possession is 9/10 of geek cuisine.
All right, let's give it a shot.
I don't know why I'm so like masochistic like this.
You,
making
seriously.
Us,
I guess
you
we
know,
gave you too many jokes.
Well, hopefully the alcohol will knock her down, man. She's drugged up.
I'm not drugged up. I took one pill like 5 hours
and
ago.
Sugar.
Wow.
Oh, that's cough syrup.
It's not as bad as the last one, though.
The cranberry bit of it's good.
Yeah.
It does have a good cranberry hint to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like cranberry juice. I was expecting this to be not sucky.
Yeah, the after...
aftertaste. The cinnamon bun.
It's all chemical.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels
it
like
really
you're drinking
is.
Chemical.
It's a shot of alcohol and, yeah, a shot of ass. There you go.
No,
your
that is not
title.
The episode. No.
Shots of ass. Oh, yeah.
Where's my pencil?
He's actually writing
it
down.
Okay, here's the thing. He picks on me when I don't talk enough, but then when I talk too much, I talk too much. And I spend all day alone, so when I'm around people, Shut up, Brad.
I'm still working on
you're
this
mean.
Shot. It's really,
I know. I like
really
took
weird.
Nasty.
And sip.
I'm trying to finish it off, but I don't know.
I'll finish it off just because I finish it off.
Ah.
Because, ugh.
Ugh.
Woo!
I could not
it'll
imagine
take me
drinking
little.
That entire thing.
That's disgusting.
There is no way.
You're an idiot.
What?
I love you and all, but you're an idiot.
Oh.
I killed that grape.
Maybe the grape's better.
Not by much.
I mean, I don't like grape to begin with, but...
I mean...
Oh, Jesus, that is a nasty
Still with the alcohol and the caffeine thing.
Okay, here's my question.
It's just odd.
I can understand why teenagers would want to drink an energy drink mixed with alcohol, but why not just get... something alcoholic and mix it with an energy drink.
Yeah,
this is disgusting.
Yeah, I want to try.
Yeah, you
like
would end up with something better.
A Red Bull. Yeah. Well, no, Jaeger's nasty.
I don't know.
Red Bull is nasty.
Red Bull is nasty. Although when I mixed
I had
it,
a Jaeger bomb, and it wasn't
it
that
with
great.
Brad's purple Sorry. Juice that he makes, that his great grandma made, which is what, Brad? Lemonade?
Basically, it is you take a can of, and you got to use the exact brand because, God forbid, you use the wrong shit.
It's not the same.
Welch's 100% grape juice, a can of the frozen stuff.
Yeah.
You take a can of that. And a can of
Minute Maid
frozen lemonade concentrate.
Hmm.
Okay. And you get a big pitcher. You dump both of those in there and then their respective amounts of water.
Right.
It is awesome.
That's it.
That's all?
That's
Purple
it.
Purple juice.
Purple juice.
Grape juice and lemonade. And it's fantastic.
Wow.
It is absolutely fantastic.
Interesting.
And I mixed that. I don't like the taste of Red Bull, but the last time we recorded a Tardison Reptus, I knew it was going to run late and I was sleepy. So I mixed a Red Bull with purple juice, and it was actually good because it killed the taste of the Red Bull.
So this Four Locos is really, really nasty.
Yeah, this was the cranberry lemonade one, and it was no better than the other one that we had.
The very slight bit of cranberry that you could actually taste, but I. Ugh.
But you know something? It's going to be a first for Geek Cuisine. We're going to pause, take a break, and we'll be back with a Geek Cuisine Lab. Right after.
Oh, God, this. What are you going to mix together?
Oh, he's planning something.
I'm going to hide under the desk.
And we are back. Glenn, you want to get started on the latest guilty pleasures? The extra special guilty pleasures, I might add.
Well, this is our anniversary episode. And even though Guilty Pleasures hasn't been with us the entire year, this movie has.
This movie's been with us a few years now.
Yeah. I picked this up at a convention. It might have been Wizard World Chicago. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it was at one of the conventions I went to. And
I think you might have picked it up the year we went up there.
And couldn't pass it up. Robo Vampire.
I have a question.
Yeah. What?
Before we start... Had you seen it prior to picking it up, or
was it just
a lucky find?
It was a lucky find, if you want to call it luck. Yeah.
Bad.
Bad luck, yeah.
If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
I'm a big RoboCop fan, and I like B-movies. And any movie that on the cover has a painting of RoboCop with a vampire in a headlock, you know...
That screams quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this isn't even the... this is what we talk about when we talk about A-plus shows to grade Z movies.
Yeah.
This is the grade Z movie.
It's interesting. In large yellow letters down the side, it says martial arts. So it's a, you know, RoboCop vampire martial arts movie of course.
Yes.
So
there's something for the geek in us all.
Yeah. This is a all regions DVD. You know, that's going to be good then. That's always an indicator. And
crap.
And it's loaded with extras like nothing. I mean, there's not even a menu on this thing. I mean, no trailers, no menus, nothing. I mean,
yeah, we put this in the DVD player tonight, and it started right on up.
I think we had to restart it, what, twice, because we weren't all quite ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, did it start? Holy crap.
Go back.
Hold on. Check. Here we go. Get the pizza.
Yeah, I wasn't going to let anybody miss a second of this, you know, because... You got to experience the entire thing, you know, to if you can stomach it.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, what can I say about this movie? I'd like to know more about it, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's an enigma. It just I saw it there that once. I had never seen it again anywhere else. I had never met anyone else that had ever heard of it, and I promptly forced all my friends to view it as well. So. The downside to this is I've had to watch it multiple times so that I can inflict it on other people. But, you know, it's the price you pay.
Are you becoming immune to it, or is it just as bad each time?
I still find little nuances in it that I either didn't miss or didn't see or just managed to block out somehow.
Being a robo-vampire virgin and never seeing it at all...
That's the sequel.
Hearing
Robo-Vampire Virgin.
God. Hearing the buildup, I was expecting thoroughly horrible, gouge my eyes out, is it over yet movie.
There were some eye gouging.
There was eye gouging in the movie. But honestly, I can say there are some movies that came out of Hollywood in the past few years that have been insanely popular movies, Napoleon Dynamite, that
I would
rather watch watch this than those. I mean, this was not nearly as painful as I expected.
Christmas Story?
Hey,
this has everything. I mean, you know, it's got soldiers and drug dealers and Chinese hopping vampires.
Okay, the hopping made me laugh. Every time they did it, I laughed.
But that's actually, if I'm not mistaken, a piece of folklore. It really is folklore about Chinese hopping vampires.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. Not that I've ever met one, but I think
But
that's
they were
the
out
case.
In sunlight.
Yeah, they were out in the sunlight and any number of other things. They smoked cigarettes. They, I don't know.
Well, Spike did that on Buffy, so.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, if you're having a what, are they going to get lung cancer? They're the undead.
And if you're not alive to breathe, how do you, anyway.
I don't know. The costuming is legendary in this. I mean, the vampire beast.
Wait for it.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
The vampire
legend,
beast.
Wait for it.
Dairy.
Vampire beast in his cheap gorilla mask.
Oh, yeah. Very bad gorilla mask, I might add.
But even that wasn't as bad as the robo warrior.
With his crooked chin strap.
And his oven mitts of doom.
Yeah, he looked like a giant oven mitt. I mean, this is like a soft sculpture RoboCop, okay?
Yeah.
It's like the RoboCop plushie.
No, no, no.
Oh, it really is.
Kind of. Or if you had like a second grader who went to make like a RoboCop out of clay.
Yes.
This is kind of what that would look
His
like.
His mommy dressed him as RoboCop and they didn't have much money,
no,
so
no,
they had
no,
to spray paint.
No, this would be more because you can make a better RoboCop costume out of aluminum foil and cardboard.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was too soft to be cardboard.
This is like a little kid took a G.I. Joe and wrapped in like modeling clay or something to, you know,
the thing that drove me crazy was his chin strap and, like you said, his visor thing was crooked and you just want to just straighten it. Just run up to him and straighten it and run away. Hop away.
Robo warrior to base. Robo warrior to base.
He's got a giant antenna sticking up out of his helmet.
It's like his 3-foot antenna. It's huge.
It's like off an old 70s walkie-talkie, you know? It's like gigantic. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so give us the plot, if there is one, of the movie.
I was gonna say,
what the plot is supposed
to
be.
It's like two congruent plots at once.
My guess here is there's at least two movies in this. Maybe more. I don't know.
I'm thinking there might have actually been a third at some point with the love story.
Yeah, because
that
couple
on
the bench there.
It seemed like a flashback to a student film or something. It looks like there was some serious action adventure drug smuggling movie that this company got a hold of. And this is all conjecture, but it seems like they got a hold of this drug smuggling movie and thought, well, somehow we've got the rights to this, and there's a lot of production value with guns and explosions and things, and let's use that footage in another movie. And so they probably wrote another movie around it.
Production value?
I use the term loosely.
Okay, our fan films that we've made had higher production value.
Okay, in the drug smuggling movie, they had real guns. Of course,
okay.
We had real guns in one of our movies as well, but that's another point. real guns as compared to the vampire storyline scenes where they had guns with...
Well, they had... Wait for it.
They had...
Toilet paper tubes.
Yeah, they had like cardboard tubes spray-painted black attached to the end of all their rifles that had fireworks, like firecrackers in them. And you can see the firecrackers going off when it's supposedly the gun firing. That's
which, if
that's
you think
legendary.
About it, is kind of ingenious for a home movie or something like that.
Unless your director of photography does a close-up one time looking down the end of the barrel where you can actually see the firecrackers.
And this is not a revolver that you're looking down either.
No.
I think they must have had either a very short person or a child doing the camera work. Because it was hardly ever on the actors' faces in some of the close-up shots. It was on a shoulder or a chin or a, you know, it was never a...
Yeah.
I think it may have been a widescreen and when they made it full screen, they just set up the camera in the center and got the center. They didn't do the traditional pan and scan where you show the most interesting thing on the screen. Mm-hmm. Not that there was anything interesting on the screen, but had there been, a person's face maybe.
Because even the credits were cut off in some areas.
Yeah, the director's name was O. I think it's probably Joe, but there was no J on the screen.
Oh, my goodness, this is bad.
I think we touched, in talking about it as it was playing, we touched on a point that I think sells it for me as something that's not as bad as it should have been. The sincerity with which these actors are doing this. They weren't parodying anything. They were believing they are making the next Oscar-winning film.
That's true. I would cut them some slack if it was a parody and they knew, okay, there's no money and we're just having fun with this. But no, these people thought they were making art.
Well, the thing is, we don't know what those original films were. They may have actually been, well, the drug smuggling part may have been a dramatic, serious movie. There's no way in hell the one with the robos and the vampires would have been.
The premise that I can tell, there's two stories. Like I said, there's the drug smuggling story, where a girl is kidnapped and a group of people are hired to go in and rescue her. Now, that's the what I assume is the pre-made movie with a little bit of a budget. Then the no-budget movie is also a drug smuggling movie because it's got to intertwine with the other one. But in this one, they had the brilliant idea of smuggling the drugs by putting them in caskets with vampires. So I guess that's how they can link the two movies into one cohesive story. They did do some clever editing, though, to
Some of them was actually kind of good.
Yeah, occasionally to make you feel like it was all one big movie. But if you pay attention, there are entire groups of major characters that never see each other and don't have anything at all to do with each other.
Oh, yeah, the chase scenes are quite interesting.
Yeah.
See, it seemed to run long for me. I mean, it seemed like, okay, I'm not quite sure the plot, so when's it going to end?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't foresee an ending, which at the end, you just saw the guy walking in and said, the end. So there really wasn't really an ending, but it seemed to run long, but otherwise, I did not hate it.
Yeah, there's this big battle, and all of a sudden, the movie just stops.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of hopping. And lots of leaping.
I like the hopping. It's
lots
funny.
Lots of fireworks.
It's cute.
Lots of vicious toilet paper tendrils coming out after things.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a nice little subplot between a ghost of a girl who they refer to as a witch, a ghost witch or something like that.
Witch ghost.
And she's in love with this Asian guy named Peter, who died and has become the vampire beast.
Vampire werewolf looking gorilla monster guy. Thing.
I would like to see that storyline played out seriously. Like, you know, because it seems like a nice kind of fairy tale, even if it's a sci-fi Saturday B movie, it's something I would watch.
It was one of the more redeeming parts of the movie because she had a sheer shirt on.
Yes.
Most
of the time, except when she was doing her stunts and it was probably a guy.
Although, if any...
it went brilliant white.
Yeah.
If any woman actually watches this movie and then sees her sheer little shirt, you're going to look at that and go, psh. Like, you might as well
must
have had the man doing it.
When they were filming the movie.
Well, she was a little oddly shapen, but I'm just saying from a female point of view.
Wasn't exactly gifted either, but that's another.
So, we've got our character, you know, normally, let's take RoboCop, for instance.
Okay.
You have a story where you get to know the cop character before he is killed and brought back in a dramatic way as RoboCop. In this movie, we have, like, a brief scene with a soldier who is killed by a vampire. And
about 16 seconds of flashback.
Yeah. The other thing, when he was killed by the vampire, it was a fiery explosion, and his face was all burnt up. And yet, the only thing exposed when he's the robo-warrior is his face, and it's not burned
That's
up.
That's his bottom half of his. Maybe it was just the top half of his
face.
No,
it was his whole... Well, it was actually just the lower half of his face. I don't think they probably ran out of makeup before
when
they got to his
When they took off the other
forehead.
Body parts that were too bad off to be used... And they put the cybernetic stuff. They took the skin off of those and did skin.
I almost made a very bad joke. I'll leave it alone.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, because it's mean. Because it's about a real person.
Oh, okay.
Okie dokie.
Well, anyone brave enough to track this movie down and watch it, because I don't know how widely available it is. I had never run across another copy of it myself. But
Email Glenn and he'll...
No. No, anyone brave enough to watch it, pay particular attention to... There are two really great bits of dialogue in this. The first being when they decide that they want to turn this guy into the robo-warrior, and the sequence where the guy asks for permission to turn him into the robot.
We can rebuild him better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Oh, wait. Wrong.
Wrong film. That dialogue was so bad and so stilted, and the acting was just so cardboard. It was amazing. Very painful.
The deadpan has nothing on them.
And the great equipment that they used to bring him back to life with the big plus and minus symbols on it that would flash intermittently
back and forth.
Not only
that, there
was
a green plus sign and a red minus sign.
Because flashing lights mean science.
And not that I want to ruin anything, there's also another love story in the other story, the actual drug smuggling story, between these two Asian characters, and there's one part where the girl is bathing and the guy sneaks up and is watching her, and they have an exchange, and he mentions that she should bathe more often.
Yeah.
Which was quite a compliment.
The inflection there was a little off.
Yeah.
There's a compliment in there somewhere,
this
I think.
This was the ultimate in badly dubbed movies.
Yeah.
It was...
Yeah.
So, Glenn, give us, on the robo-vampire scale...
Well, by default, since it is the robo-vampire scale, it has to, you know, rank straight across as, you know, the best, because this is the best movie compared to itself.
Okay.
So, I can't really vary from that. I mean, it's got it all. It's got serious lack of plot. Seriously bad special effects.
Boobs. It's got boobs.
Well, you know, boobs aren't bad, though.
Briefly.
Yeah, okay. And it has horrible costuming, horrible props.
Although the vampires themselves had nice-ish Asian costuming.
Well, yeah, from the neck down.
Yes.
The vampires had this weird thing going on. Sometimes they look like mimes with white
pale
faces and black
nicely
around their
done,
eyes.
No, nicely done.
Okay. Other times they look like someone had laid bacon on their face.
Burning bacon.
Burning bacon. I couldn't
bacon.
Really... I didn't get the whole bacon thing.
Cajun blackened vampire for you.
The vampire would be laying there, and then all of a sudden bacon would start appearing on his face.
It's like mold or something, just like time-lapse thing.
They were trying to do a burned, aged maybe thing, and it just did not happen.
And then there's the scene where we all surmise that they must have forgotten the gorilla mask at home or something, because all of a sudden the vampire beast... has a bacon face in this one sequence. He's got a bacon face. Then he's back to have his gorilla mask again later. So
yeah, it was just, what the hell?
What do you mean you forgot the gorilla mask? I can see him there on the set.
The only reason we laugh and came up with that is because that crap happens to us when we had filmed our films. What do you mean you forgot this?
No hat in this scene, or the sling where the guy got shot in our movie,
transfers from one arm to the other.
Yeah, and the sling turns from white to blue, and he's got short sleeves and long sleeves.
Where's the script girl? It's her job to learn continuity.
Script.
Yeah,
but no, this isn't about our movies. This is about Robo Vampire.
Which, you know what? It really seemed to me like it should have been a fan film. Like, it seemed like a bunch of people got together and said, let's make this movie.
It seemed like a mashup that someone overdubbed.
Yeah.
Now, Robo Vampire, cool name. There was not a Robo Vampire in it. I mean, there was like a Robo Warrior, and then there were vampires, but there was not like a Robo Vampire.
I'm wondering if it might have been that part of the film was originally called Robo Warrior or something like that. Because that name popped up several times. Like, they kept calling RoboCop, RoboCop.
I don't know. It's just, it's astonishing. I would love to know when and where this was made.
Yes.
Because it's copyright 2000, but it's obvious it was made decades before
Unless
that.
Unless the 80s didn't come to wherever until 2000.
I would say 2000's when the DVD was released. The 2000's probably the copyright on the packaging.
Oh, yeah. Talk about the packaging.
Beautiful painting on the cover of, like I said, RoboCop with a guy that looks kind of like Saddam Hussein with a bacon face in a headlock. And there's explosions, and there's a helicopter, and was there even a helicopter in the movie?
No, not that I recollect.
No, there wasn't. But it adds production value to the cover. Hey, there's a helicopter. Wow.
Explosion.
It's cheap to do a painting of a helicopter, a lot cheaper than having a real helicopter.
There's even a SKU number on the back.
Oh, an ISBN number?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, all regions. Of course, it even says Dolby Digital. I kind of doubt that somehow.
I don't recollect the Dolby Digital light popping up on the receiver when we were watching it.
Maybe it was filmed around something that was Dolby Digital.
Maybe that font was left over from whatever package they made before this one.
Yeah,
I don't
probably.
Know. It says here that it's 90 minutes, and we all agree it seemed a lot longer.
Twice as long.
I think just because there was lack of continuity, you weren't sure what was going to happen next, so there was no sense of...
Oh, we knew exactly what was going to happen.
Well, you did. I had never seen it before.
It's like my third time seeing this movie.
It's not as bad as Blood Feast. I'm finding that movie for
it's
you
not
on
as
DVD.
Bad as a Christmas Story either.
So you can watch Blood Feast.
I like A Christmas Story.
I hate that movie.
You know, shoot your eye out, kid.
Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie.
And that lamp. Oh.
There is a... Sorry, I'll tell you after the show.
That's okay.
I saw a little replica of the lamp at the Great Escape.
There's a guy who bought the house in Cleveland that was used for the exterior scenes because it was shot in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He bought the house.
That's a guilty
pleasure.
He
made it into a museum, a Christmas story museum.
Wow.
An exact replica of the inside of the house
what
in the
schmuck.
Film.
What a schmuck.
And put the lamp in the window. And you
awesome.
Can take tours and everything.
No, that is horrible. That is one of the worst holiday movies ever made.
I watch it every year.
So do I.
Yeah, I used to.
He looked like a bloated tick. You could even quote the movie.
Okay, why I can quote this movie? And okay, now we're kind of drifting into Brad's guilty rants or whatever here. Of course, everybody at least in this room should know that I used to manage a Blockbuster and used to work at a Suncoast back in the days. Worked in a lot of video stores. What movie do we have to put in every damn year and play on a freaking loop? A Christmas Story. It was worse than TBS's rerun.
I liked it more before they started doing the 24-hour marathon.
Yeah. You see, there are movies that I can go see constantly like that. Like Grease. We ran Grease quite a bit.
I couldn't watch it 24
still
hours.
Love it. Still love Grease. Christmas Story? Hell no.
I can imagine that seeing it over and over and over again might get a little old.
Oh, yeah.
Is just be glad it wasn't Robo Vampire. Can you imagine that on a 24-hour loop?
I wonder if Wild and Woolly video here in Louisville has that.
You know what? If I'm not mistaken, when I put it into Amazon to get some kind of a link for it, it popped up. Something came up when I typed it in.
Because you know you found it available for purchase.
Yeah,
sort of.
I got an email, someone saying, hey, is this the movie you're talking about? And sure enough, another company has released this on DVD. It's a double feature. It's Robo Vampire and something called Devil's Dues. But they advertise it kind of like it's a sequel or something. But I read about Devil's Dues and it like had nothing to do with it. So I don't think there's an actual
Christina's
sequel.
Idea for a sequel. Robo Virgin.
No, it's the prequel. It's the witch girl and how she met her boyfriend.
Well, it's a witch girl.
The vampire beast.
Vampire beast.
Alrighty.
I would like to know if anybody out there has a guilty pleasure movie, something so bad it's good.
Christmas
I don't know
story.
If we've not you them. If
them.
If you've seen something so bad it's good.
That was
good.
A bad movie too.
I don't know if there's No, I'm thinking of They Live, never mind.
That was
but
pretty bad.
I don't think
too.
Anybody
like
has anybody emailed you with something saying this is so bad it's good you have to see it.
Cherry 2000.
I've got that on DVD.
I do too.
Yeah.
I remember that. Ooh,
I actually like that.
I was too young to watch that movie. When I watched it, when I watched it, I remember thinking, I think I'm too young to understand this movie.
You know, I can't really think of any particular movies.
So email and tell us what's so bad we need to watch.
Email your guilty pleasures to glenn@podculture.net.
Maybe I'll be forced to watch them and share the pain.
Again, Glenn's guilty pleasures, sharing the pain.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's call it a segment.
It's a segment, Brad.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
It's time for Geek Cuisine.
Well, we have a special geek cuisine, and seeing as I have a reputation for bringing in cringe-worthy bucket-inducing, grabbing whatever...
I got the bucket ready
geek cuisines. I've brought something special from my favorite geek site, ThinkGeek.
Okay, well, I can tell it's not the Jones soda you had mentioned.
What do you think it is? Okay, yeah, I actually looked for the bacon Jones soda. I couldn't get that anymore.
My son appreciates it.
I know everybody's crushed.
I kind of am.
But,
you know,
Jones soda, that would have been interesting.
Low
bacon. But today, I have zombie jerky.
Yeah.
Now, can you see this? And so, now I know it doesn't help our listeners, but our jerky pieces
looks kind of like moss.
They
look like the bottom of the Green Lantern globules.
Yeah, covered in green flavor crystals. No, actually, it's just teriyaki.
Okay,
that's green food coloring.
Okay. Nice.
That's all.
Creepy.
I'm down with the teriyaki.
So it says zombie jerky, teriyaki. It's beef jerky. Delicious.
Ew.
So comes in this neat, kind of cool packaging.
Is that a QR code on the front?
It looks like it.
Yeah.
Do it. Do you have the thing on your phone?
Nah, not easily accessible.
Chicken?
So
no, that's beef.
We'll just go ahead and...
tastes like chicken.
Get into it.
Says it's beef.
Whimper. Oh.
Ew.
Look at that.
Ew, it's fuzzy.
It smells like beef jerky. It doesn't smell like,
it's
you know.
It's fuzzy.
Looks like something you peel off the north side of a tree.
But it's got little, like, it's got...
Ew, I'm scared.
What's the white stuff in it?
It's the, protein. Those little, flavor.
Oh, okay.
Freshness.
Absorbs the
whatever.
Silica.
Silica, pieces. Yeah.
Boo
exactly.
On you.
Yeah. You took the only small pieces.
I got a small piece.
I got a small piece too.
God,
it's basically beef jerky, but it's got like green crud on it. Yeah. Just imagine that.
I got the green crud.
It's weird looking.
Penicillin. even the touching consistency of this.
I know, it's weird.
Is
and it's all because,
and I'm the last one to get a hold of this stuff.
And it's all
going to be like
one of the green
piece.
Stuff. If it didn't have the green stuff on it, it'd be okay.
Squishy.
Oh, that is. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The texture alone is.
It's.
You know what it looks like? That stuff in planners? Like in
planners
and squishy green stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew, this is nasty.
It's Miracle-Gro.
It's like a fresh cow pie.
I'm going to eat a lot of this and be almost as tall as Adam.
Yes.
This is my secret. Yeah. This is I'm revealing this to you now. No.
This is pretty nasty.
I was brave enough not to look it up when he told me.
So don't put it all in your mouth. Don't put it all in your mouth.
That's what it's one of the perks of working for the same company. We can IM each other.
Just take a bite.
Little bite.
Just take a little bite. Not like you did with the
yeah, exactly.
The hibiscus. Yeah, you just crammed it all in your mouth. You're like,
yeah,
yeah, but that makes it greater.
Here's the blah.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, the textures.
Texture's odd.
Yeah.
I wish I had a camera.
Actually, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's kind of mushy.
Yeah.
How old is this zombie? To describe it.
You sure it's supposed to be green?
Green Lantern Global.
Yeah, but the green doesn't have any flavor, really. The green bits don't really have flavor.
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
Brad, can you open the Pod Culture fridge? And pass me an alcoholic beverage so I can quarantine my face.
Now, isn't jerky supposed to be kind of
tough?
Yeah.
Weather?
I thought it
not
was.
Not moist and flaky?
Yeah.
I think this zombie was out in the sun too long.
He was
underwater too long.
Well, he was a floater.
I look at it as I took a bite off it, so it's cross-sectioned here.
I'll take pink. No, I don't want
a
four loco.
Shell,
we should do one.
And it looks like the inner
separate
is a bit,
though.
You know. meatier. You know, not as well done.
Yeah, I'm not a. I don't like, you know, jerky.
I like beef
and stuff,
jerky. I mean,
but
yeah,
I don't know if it's just the meat consistency. Mm-hmm. Or what?
Why not eat the rest of it?
Or maybe it's this teriyaki. Oh. I don't care much for.
Maybe
I love teriyaki, but I'm not
this
feeling
is
it.
Not no. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling this so much.
Oh,
hey, Brad.
I'm feeling it.
Can
well,
you be a man?
I'm worried about feeling it another half an hour.
Yeah.
Don't away from the mic and playing
burp.
Hold on.
Don't burp.
Mm. Oh
wow.
Yeah, the texture just makes it unpleasant.
Yeah, it's not. No. Okay, mm-hmm. No good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who can we torture with this now?
Here, I'll take the rest home to the kiddo.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's zombie,
no,
but it's teriyaki zombie.
Enough,
oh.
Yeah, teriyaki zombie.
Well, actually, you'd have to ask him, but
this may be actually. This may actually
that be funny. He'd have to call in the voicemail line.
See,
oh,
yeah.
Really zombie.
Since I started my low-carb thing, I've had a lot beef jerky and turkey jerky. Ew.
Yeah, I don't think I could finish this.
You like codes under the caps at Mike's.
For what?
I have no idea.
Oh, nice.
I was passing out Mike's Hard Lemonade.
I need to quarantine my beef.
I was thinking, okay, I should have probably gotten a big piece since it is teriyaki and no one else will want it.
I'm glad you didn't.
But I'm glad you didn't, too.
Woo!
I'm not going to burp.
I can't do that.
Okay, it's better.
Adam's not even finishing his little.
I can't even finish it.
Yeah. I finished mine, but.
Yeah, I took a little teeny.
Yeah.
As soon as I touched it, I knew I had to take a little teeny.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
How brave are you, listeners?
Not a fan. But yeah, if you're brave enough.
Double tap, cardio, jerky.
Listening to this, they'll still try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a Slim Jim any day.
Okay, there's not too
steak. Yeah.
There's not too many geek cuisines where I'm like ew. Usually I'm like, oh, it's not so bad. No, ew.
Yeah, I thought, okay, they're going to try to gross us out, but it won't really be gross.
Yeah. Because that's what I thought, too. When I seen the package, like, oh, that's just cool. I'm going to order
weird color or something
like
that.
The presentation, the squishiness was just part of the packaging, as it were. And
But that's really kind of.
Oh.
It was like extra moist jerky.
Well done for a geek cuisine, though.
Yeah. Ooh, you had a Mountain Dew. Jerky.
Oh, Mountain Dew teriyaki jerky burp.
Oh, yeah, it was. That was foul.
Was that a burp or
a
burp?
That was a burp. It almost became. Oh, God.
That was almost a burp.
A burp.
It was almost an Ashley.
Oh, hi, Ashley. She should have been here for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it probably wouldn't be any worse if we just mailed it to her.
Might be better.
Oh, I've got another package at home.
So you can torture your friends.
To her.
That's okay. You
in
can
case
torture your friends.
It's true.
Torture your friends.
He's an optimist. He bought another bag in case he liked it.
See, but I would do that too.
I'm going to go straight home and get the kiddo to do this one.
We love you. We're sorry. That it was Adam at Pod Culture.
Yeah, Adam at Pod Culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll blame this one on Adam. So
there you go.
That's fine.
So Brad's off the hook.
So it's all my fault.
Zombie jerky.
No.
Thumbs down. It's so bad. It's 5 thumbs down.
Pretty much.
Wow.
It should be left for dead.
Ooh. And on that note.
Yeah.
Very nice, sir.
We ain't got time for this, Ellis.
Good segue. I'm calling zombie bullshit.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
20 hours later.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, it was just a minute for them.
Yeah.
Not even it.
Not even
that.
Sound effect.
Time travel. That'd be great.
No. But we're back with Purple Juice.
Yay!
Purple
we were talking
Juice.
About just a moment ago. About.
I'm curious to see how this happened in the kitchen. I'm a little bit scared.
what the kitchen looks like.
Yeah.
Don't go in there.
You can clean it.
Okay. Purple juice.
All right.
Purple
you got some purple juice?
Welch's grape juice.
It's purple.
And Minute Maid lemonade.
And what was your great grandma's name?
Alma.
Alma. It means soul.
Oh, cool. Alma juice.
She lived to be 106.
Mm.
Mean as a snake there at the end.
God, you know what? I think I'd be mean too if I was 106. God love her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, you're like...
Dude likes the purple juice.
Daily,
that's not bad.
No, it's like your whole daily requirement of vitamin C.
That's crazy.
I think I might need that after
two
the
two great tastes go great together.
It's true.
Wow.
Like, mm-hmm. And things you wouldn't think to put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
like it's like blueberry and lemon.
Yeah,
yeah,
something like kinda. That. It's yeah. Ooh,
it cuts the tart just mm-hmm. a little bit.
It mm-hmm. does. It's very good.
I have no idea how she came up with this.
Random.
They complement each other very well.
But she would always have a picture of this in the fridge.
Good for
or
her.
A picture. I mean, it's probably that good.
She'd take a picture of it.
Sorry. Yeah.
Picture?
Well, you know, because this was Mom's grandmother.
Aww.
So this would have been Bill's mom.
Aww. So.
Huh.
He grew up on purple juice.
Very good.
Yeah.
I might have to pick up some.
Yeah, but you got to get the right brand.
Yeah, because the store brands aren't the same.
Not the grape juice cocktail, but
right, the 100% frozen stuff.
The frozen stuff, right. But the 100% grape Concord grape juice uh-huh. stuff, and then Minute Maid
frozen lemonade stuff.
Which good luck finding it because it's a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, although we never actually tried just plain old Kroger, we were looking at the Walmart.
No, we went to Kroger's.
But you went to Kroger's. But yeah. Like in the beginning, we were just looking at Walmart. Don't do it. Oh, God.
Andy's not here, so we're not going to get too.
I made the mistake of having more than one.
Dump some in there, since you think.
Well, let me have some more untainted.
Okay.
And maybe
because he's going to adulterate the
purple juice.
Purple juice with some Four Loko.
Well, I did it with Red Bull just because I knew, it would cut the flavor of the Red Bull.
And actually did.
It does. It does very well. And it adds that little bit of carbonation that's really good. Mm-hmm. Like a 7-Up or Sprite would be good in this too. If you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Sparkle. Add a little bit of carbonation to it.
A little bit of sparkle.
That could be good. Let's try this.
Oh, God.
See what happens.
I can't take it.
Good thing you got a short drive home,
dude. Can't take it. He's already tipsy.
It's smoking.
I can't.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm going to need a nap after this.
You know what?
You're going to need a nappy after this one.
I know. Nappy change from his car.
Okay. Well, you're sitting in Glenn's seat, so it's all right.
I'm sorry, Glenn. He doesn't listen to the show. It's okay. He'll never know.
He doesn't listen when we're recording. What are you talking
about? Yes, he does. Leave him alone. We can't make fun of him because he's not here.
Less astacular?
Actually, after the first shot, it really doesn't taste bad at all.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Interesting.
Oh my god,
we're all gonna die.
You're never gonna have scurvy.
Yeah.
That's true.
You'll never have scurvy. Sorry. I almost made it come out of my nose.
Adam just murfed out over the microphone.
But it I don't know, it dilutes the carbonation. It pretty much cancels it out, it seems. For the amount I put in there anyway. Mm.
You come to healthy shot good. Of it in there.
See, I don't like grape juice
mm-hmm.
because it never seems to taste
like
grapes.
Yep.
I love Same grapes here. And I love wine. I just don't like anything grape flavored.
Same here.
Welch juice is all
but
grape.
It doesn't taste like you're eating
it's just
grapes.
Not the same.
It's Concord grapes.
Right. But I love this because it's not that grape flavor. You get more of the lemonade tang.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. I mean, I would
you probably
prefer
the grape flavor.
I would prefer, I prefer the standard
mm-hmm.
untainted version.
Maybe some peach schnapps in it. Yeah.
Ooh, that could be good.
Can't handle anything else right now.
I don't have any. We don't have any of those, so don't worry about it.
We have melon schnapps. We have melon.
That melon schnapps has been in there for years.
Oh, I had some when I had insomnia a couple of weeks ago, and it's all right.
Although you do have
it
like.
Works. I have wicked insomnia, and the only thing, like, I need to be knocked out, otherwise I don't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I got strawberry vodka, which is not bad.
Interesting.
The Let's Get Adam Trashed episode.
Woo! Well, I'm right behind him. I'm ready for a nap.
Yeah, I can drive him home, and he'll just jog back to the car the next
morning.
That's
true. That's true.
No, I'm good, actually.
All right.
But,
Four Locos. Not so great.
I
would not
pretty
recommend.
Darn tasty.
I would not go out and get Four Loko.
Don't do it unless you want to punish your friends.
Good luck finding it.
Yeah, because they kind of
you
changed
should keep
them up
that
now.
And make it like a planter.
Because this is
my
the
God,
original
you all
stuff.
Did kill off some of that, didn't you?
See?
Holy shit!
I only had
there's like a quarter of the can.
I
left.
Only had two Dixie cups full. Adam had three.
Sorry,
sorry to be a telltale. We were gonna
Thanks,
make it,
Christina.
were going to make it.
Get two episodes out of this.
We were going to make it funny that you came back and there wasn't any left.
That's right. You didn't like find something just to pour it all in.
Yeah. Oh, we showed up.
Dang it. Yeah, that would have been funny.
Because as long as I was in there, you could have gone to the bathroom and just dumped it out.
We were
dumped
it out.
It's like, we finished it.
I could have mixed it with my tea, but I like my tea.
So, yeah, Four Locos. Yeah,
no. But purple juice, good stuff. Thumbs up. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get some of that.
It's so good for you.
Yeah. Mm. I may have another glass right after this.
But there's nothing fake about it.
We couldn't let the 200th episode recording of Pod Culture go by with just one guilty pleasure. No.
This is probably the guiltiest of guilty.
Yeah.
On a much more personal level.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah. Glenn?
Well, Brad and I should both feel guilty about this one.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed, you should.
way back a few decades ago.
Two.
Let's put it this way. If someone were born the year we did this, they could drink.
Yeah, and then some.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was 8.
Shut up.
Just long, long you know. Ago in a galaxy far, far away.
I was only 12.
No, just the next town over.
When video cameras had just become accessible to the masses, we were silly and made a movie or two.
Or three or four.
Yeah. This would be number 2 of the big epic movies.
Some would say it is number 2.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It is not nearly as a steaming pile of number 2 as the original, the guilty pleasure this evening. Ooh.
Yeah, this was Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know, in the great tradition of you got your chocolate and my peanut butter. Your peanut butter, my chocolate. We have Dick Tracy meets the Green Hornet. That's right. Two great things that go great together.
And you would think, meshing up over a lot of stuff, those two, it actually kind of, you can see that.
Yeah.
The genre is not so dissimilar that, it does not mesh. It's not like you got, Superman and Batman. Dorothy from, Wizard of Oz. It's, what? That makes no sense.
Batman, Predator.
We have two characters that started out in
that
kind
would be
of
a
the,
nasty fight.
Kind of the 30s, really. Mm-hmm. And they fight against organized crime, gritty street crime. Nobody has any superpowers, really, And it just seemed like
they've got gas.
Yeah, they got gas. And so do we after the
I was biting
after
my tongue.
The White Castle.
Yeah. Whose idea was that for White Castle?
Yours, I think.
No, I don't think so. I think this one on Adam.
Yeah, we can do that.
Sure.
I'm fine, just to let you know.
Give it time.
Yeah.
You've got Dick Tracy in Chicago who fights against organized crime, gangsters and stuff, and then you've got the Green Hornet in Detroit who fights against gangsters working with the district attorney, but he pretends to be, he's really a millionaire, newspaper publisher by day, but at night he pretends to be a gangster. And the Green Hornet, if you're familiar with the mythos, is a gangster that is feared by the underworld, and that's how he gets in and sets up his stings. He tries to pretend he's one of them, and he's a very feared gangster.
And another little bit of trivia is related to another hero of genre.
That's right. There is some mythos that Green Hornet is a descendant of the Lone Ranger.
Cool.
Huh.
Oh.
And the reason that got started is because, really, he is thematically from the Lone Ranger. Basically, the company that was doing the Lone Ranger wanted to do, as a radio show, wanted to do an update, a modern update of the Lone Ranger. And they got a guy to work on it, and he just modernized the Lone Ranger. So he wears a mask, he's got an ethnic sidekick. And if you think, the car, Green Hornet's car, is the Black Beauty. Why? It's the name of a horse.
Silver.
Yeah. Mm. So, later on, when they did the comics in the, late 80s, early 90s, Now Comics, did it, they actually kind of cemented that he really was a descendant of it. And they actually worked it out where he got his fortune from the silver mine that the Lone Ranger used to mine for his silver bullets.
It's in Ohio.
Why? Because it says
Ohio silver.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he went there. Okay.
Lots of Apache in Ohio, let me tell you.
Apache roads.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Hey, there's some of those up in the knobs.
Apache roads.
There's some of those up in the knobs, trust me.
And actually, both characters, their last name is Reed. Now, you don't really hear the Lone Ranger's name very often. I kind of forget
cool.
it, though.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
pretty good. So, a little bit of history. How, because this is kind of a fan film type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Before the craze, even, actually, mostly before the internet really got going. Yeah,
there was no YouTube. There was barely an internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was probably, text only. I remember
when BBSs and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when my uncle came in one day with this little square cartridge that you would plug into the Commodore. They had a phone port in the back. He goes, it's called a modem. I think you're going to like it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the 2400 baud modem.
Mm-hmm.
While we were zooming.
Yeah, that had to have been a 14.4.
I don't remember. I'm sure I've still got modems, it.
Yeah. I had one for the Amiga 500 that my dad had.
Nice.
Well, I helped get the ball rolling with all this because I played hooky from school one day, and there was a cute girl at the Radio Shack, and I happened to have some money, and they had a camcorder.
Oh my god!
I thought it'd be really cool to have one, so I bought the camcorder and.
And the cute girl? Off.
No, I didn't buy the cute girl. Okay. The money only extended
not
for
that,
them.
Not that much money.
So then we went off, and we made the Search for Who Knows What, which was a 2-hour multi-chapter epic with everything, including the toilet thrown in. I don't think there was a kitchen sink, so I didn't say that.
Indiana Jones, a couple of Ghostbusters,
two Ghostbusters,
Doctor Who, the robot from Lost in Space, Batman and Robin,
and some Klingons.
Then some Klingons. Original series Klingons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we spent like the entire summer shooting that movie. And then we were crazy enough to try to do it again and make another movie. Mm-hmm. So by this time we had upgraded. Some of us had 8mm cameras, which is VHS.
8mm tape, not 8mm film.
Right. Yeah, not film. No, I'm from the video age. None of this archaic film stuff.
I do have some baby videos on 8mm, thanks to...
Who do I have to pay?
I don't think the 8mm films, God knows where the hell they are, but the VHS transfer, some of those are... Mom probably has a copy somewhere.
I should have to talk to your mother. She likes
it. Look at the cute little Brad. Look at the cute little Brad.
Oh, we all look so young in that last movie.
Oh, my God, that was fantastic.
Oh, the hair.
Brad with hair.
Oh, dear Lord, the hair on both of you all.
There was lots of it.
Glenn had blackish eagle's hair.
It defies gravity, Glenn's hair does.
It defies gravity.
Yep.
He had hair as long as I do now.
It broke the laws of physics.
You know, he had it got longer, too.
Yeah, it got longer. Yeah, I just quit cutting my hair. Actually, I kept going to the...
That's what I did after I got out of the military. It's like, no, never again.
I think mine was maybe just down to my shoulders.
You had just massive amounts of
it was stuff. Down to your shoulders and also out to your shoulders.
Yeah.
The volume went red. All
down. That's one reason I can
red,
really grow.
Curly.
Yeah, had a red
it gets
mullet.
Yeah, the fro mullet.
Big red, like curly fro mullet.
It was the 80s. Everybody had bad hair.
It was kind of like Ronald McDonald, but a little more mullet.
And he was so little. Like, he's so short.
About 50 pounds ago.
No, yeah. No, short. I mean, like, everybody just...
I'm about the same damn height.
No, I know, but, like, all your friends are so tall.
All of her friends were so tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only got to be Green Hornet because I stood my ground.
I mean, like, God damn it, I'm the one that makes a mask.
Yeah, this is my idea. I'm Green Hornet. I got the guns. I'm Green Hornet.
I got okay. I got a VHS copy to watch the month that I went home to get all my stuff before I moved here, and I'm watching it with my brother, and my mom walks by and she said, "Is that young Charlie Sheen?" I'm like, "No, Mom, that's Glenn." "What? That's Glenn. Huh. He looks like a young Charlie Sheen." And she kept on going.
Young Charlie Sheen is Glenn, and a young, Carrot Top is Brad.
No. There's no need to get nasty about this.
Ouch, man.
No,
I'm being kicked out of the studio now. Good night, folks.
Ouch. That was harsh. Glenn, what are you packing tonight?
The
he's
usual.
Always, he's always packing.
It's just 38-plus P's tonight, okay. That's all. But they've... got
just not enough famous redheads to compare them to.
That's true.
So yeah, wow. One of the things about the Green Hornet is he's a newspaper publisher, and I don't think we could have got a little more realistic in our sets on this one because what did we do?
We were lucky enough that one of our crew who played Sam Ketchum, the assistant to, or the partner.
The man who can't remember what arm he got shot in.
Yeah. Oops.
Left, right,
left.
Sling.
Sling.
Sling. Newspaper bag.
Non-existent. It was either on his left or his right shoulder.
I got better. Oh, relapsed.
Okay, it got better as it went along, funny. But he still was wearing it on the wrong arm.
Yeah.
That's why I got better. Arm feels one, fine. That's why you shot in the other one.
Yeah. Well, of course, we small crew, small, no budget.
Yeah.
And so,
whoever's not in the scene is holding the camera for the most part. And the budget was me buying a hat and a coat, I think.
whatever food we wanted to eat, and it, you know, all out of pocket expenses type stuff.
Lots of really cool pre Orange Tip era toy guns.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Lots of realistic
stuff that
toy
looked
guns.
Really realistic.
Yeah. And a few real ones.
Yeah, but we had...
when we were on private property.
Crit was working at a local newspaper in Jeffersonville. Which, again, you know, I think the
statute... narrows it down I think, to one?
Yeah, the one. I think statute of limitations is probably kind of over on that.
None of the crimes that were committed... Oh, wait.
I think after 20 years, I think it's okay.
In the evening news in Jeff, which, you know, is a nice little thing. Mm-hmm. Biggest chunk of the movie was shot in this building, which is not a big building.
No, it's not a big building.
And
but
you wouldn't know it from how you shot it, which is pretty cool.
You know, 14 it different pretty angles. Well shot for what it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually impressed with a lot of the cinematography on it. Some of the camera angles and... That was
considering the general amateur status, considering the non-existent budget. It
and the
totally fact that it was 20 years ago,
so was the other guilty pleasure we watched, and it totally pones that one.
Yeah, it totally pones the Counter Destroyer. Yeah.
We
absolutely and completely no question.
shot at the newspaper, violating probably many. Safety violations.
What OSHA doesn't know can't hurt you.
God knows we did stupid stuff to get shots. Basics, I don't know how it is now. It's probably all freaking computers or something. But back then they had some really big printing presses that were kind of like had two stories. It wasn't like a two-story building, but it was kind of a two-level thing. So some of us would get up on the second level and lean over to get shots. And so there's one where I'm sitting on the guardrail and my legs are kind of intertwined into things so I don't fall and die, leaning over with one of the camcorders trying to get a shot. So, yeah.
I think it didn't happen in this movie. I think the closest to dangerous thing I've done in the movie was when my cousin and I were shooting some test footage for this Batman Meets the Punisher movie that we were going to do. And I was Batman. And even though the Punisher was 6'5", I was still Batman because I had the ears. It helped, you know. And
Glenn's ears are pointy.
You just do your hair up.
Yeah, I just
in the cowl shape.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm 5'10" with hair. Yeah, I was in the Batman costume, and it was at night, and we were on campus at IUS, and we were up on the, you know, that crosswalk and the,
oh, yeah,
the main building there. We were up a couple stories, and I decided to get on the ledge and put my cape out in the night and everything. Hi. And, you know, can't really wear my glasses with a Batman cowl.
Oh.
And it was dark, and the costume was black, and everything else was black.
Oh, my
and,
God.
The cape's long.
And Glenn's short.
And the
oh my God,
the cape was on the ledge. And when I stood up, I stood on the cape, which had the effect of making me want to go over the ledge. Luckily, I didn't, because I've always commented about how the headlines would have looked that, you know, Batman jumped to his death on college campus, oh, you know. So
that's,
I did some
horrible,
crazy things.
Yeah, wow. And did stuff. Yeah, playing laser tag out there, mm-hmm, doing similar stuff. But
oh, yeah.
Getting back to the movie, we crammed, I mean, story-wise is, you know, the general purpose of the story, because you wrote the biggest chunk of it.
Well, I came up with the basic outline, mm-hmm, but Chris really took that and ran with it and made it his own. I mean, he really wrote the thing. I gave him a couple sheets of notes, and he really went his own way with it. So I think I had the idea of the fake Green Hornet in it,
mm-hmm,
but my version would have had the Shadow as a cameo, and I didn't think I knew anyone that'd be cool enough to be Doc Savage, so I didn't do that.
Yeah,
but
none
but
of
the Shadow,
guys,
you just,
are really ripped.
No, the Shadow, you just put on a hat and a scarf and an overcoat and stand in the dark,
talk like this,
and talk like Clint Eastwood or something, and you're cool, you know.
Yeah, Scott could have pulled that one off.
Yeah, but he was already busy with. Not that we didn't all play dual roles.
Multiple roles.
All named and, Fred. Oh, no.
Yeah,
that's just
all,
the,
yeah, all the cops all in the Glenn verse are called Fred.
Yep. Even in my comic books that I wrote. All the comics are named, all the cops are named Fred.
Yeah, that, I mean, even there's a scene. Good night, Fred. Morning, Fred.
Yeah. I wanted to shoot more of it, because I really enjoyed shooting, but I was in a lot of the scenes. So
yes, we know how much you enjoy shooting.
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy shooting.
Oh, film.
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 Guns, whatever,
film.
You know?
Video. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah.
But Sean, who was one of the main camera people, he owns his own photo studio now. And he actually tours around the country giving lectures and things. So he's...
Yeah, he built that up pretty good.
You know. Done photography for a living now.
He's got that on the main Dragon, Jeff, now, too, doesn't he?
I believe so.
Or was it one time?
Mm-hmm. So. He played Buzz, the guy with the black and white striped, one of the goons.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah. And, Brad, you were Axel.
Axel Roadkill.
Axel.
And you were also Fred. One of the cops, Fred.
So when the thugs broke into the newspaper, yeah, I was knocked out and... I'm just kind of steps on the back, walks up, and keeps going. But Axel Roadkill, we film most of the Sloppy Joe Gambino stuff. Of course, our friend Cliff, who hasn't changed as much as some of us have.
He hasn't aged like,
yeah, because Christina just met him
and
a few weeks ago.
Oh, holy crap, he looks the same. He hasn't aged at all.
Did you tell him you had seen him in the video?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
Oh,
how
no,
are
that,
you?
That's how I introduced him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sloppy Joe. Yeah, he's Sloppy Joe Gambino.
Oh, my God. How
and he's
are
like,
you?
Oh, hell. a few lines, a little grayer.
But hardly.
Yeah, not to the extent that Glenn or I have, no.
I didn't say that. Did I? I did not say that.
He said it.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
Little rounder.
Yeah.
I've been flying a desk for 7 years. And
flying a desk.
But yeah, we filmed a lot of that stuff at my great grandmother's house in down by the river, down near Jeff Boat, down near the Steamboat Museum, Howard Steamboat Museum. And it was a great place to film. You know, my great grandmother, she ended up living to be 106.
Dang.
Mean as a damn snake.
God, oh,
lived very different. I mean, literally, when your life's lived in three different centuries, basically, because you made it to
2000s.
Yeah. But she had this house that term, and my great grandfather, he passed when I was like six, seven, something like that, a little kid. But they had this nice, like, three story, I'm not going to call it mansion, but it's an older style house. And from the front, it kind of looks like a white version of the Bates Motel. Mm-hmm. And from the side, it looks like the house from Amityville Horror.
It does. It really does.
It's just the way this weird... You wouldn't think that those two could kind of be mashed together.
The architecture was unique. It had no, you know, one style. Just, mm-hmm. you know, oh, from this angle, wait a second, that's filmed, that's the same place?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but this wasn't the Winchester Mansion either, so.
Yeah.
but it had, like, she was big into horticulture, so she grew all kinds. She had crap growing in Jeffersonville that shouldn't be growing in Indiana, like in the backyards of California Redwood. I kid you not. Japanese maple tree and just crap like that. You know, I in middle school, I had we had to go out and get different leaves and that kind of crap for science. So I just go to grandmother's and get all this stuff. And
yeah.
The science teacher's like, the hell is that?
How did you get this?
Yeah,
drove to California.
Grandma,
field trip.
You know, half an hour, I'm done. You know. Mm-hmm. But at the time we were starting to film this, she was moving to an assisted living facility and actually pretty much had moved. But they were going through and selling some stuff and moving everything out. So we pretty much had this place wide open to film in. And it's just bizarre.
All the little alcoves and staircases.
Alcoves and little twisty stairwells and back hallways and rooms that had unique I-beams in them that you could grab and...
You know, having made a couple movies, I have to say locations are one of the hardest things to find the right locations and get access to them, be able to shoot there. So having that was great, and having the newspaper was great. And, of course, the Search for Who Knows What we shot on Chris's family's farm, which was huge, and lots of very dangerous places there, too.
Yeah, because somebody
giant,
can't...
Giant barn way up in the air that they hadn't finished the floor yet, but you know, feel free to walk around in here and shoot and act and fight and do whatever, and you might fall to your death, but you know, hey, don't
that'd don't, be a that very be a realistic problem. Scene
yeah
oh my god
there don't worry there's a few you know plywood boards thrown on the rafters in some
put
places
some straw down there scatter on. Some straw
yeah
there
you'd be go. Okay yeah
so we've had some dangerous stupid things
very very stupid and crazy and but we had a lot of fun doing this. So,
and both The Search for Who Knows What and Dick Tracy Meets the Green Hornet are both, what? I mean, Search for Who Knows What is at least 2 hours long.
Yeah, and this two and a half. I think a little over two and a half.
Yeah, and this one was getting close to two.
Pushing
wasn't
two.
It? I mean, so we didn't make little 15-minute shorts. People would tell me, oh, you ought to make a short. Make it short. Why am I going to make it short? I've made two feature-length movies already.
Yeah.
Well, we've made, actually, like, three.
Three, yeah.
One of which, all the footage has been done. We shot it. It just somehow, everybody got busy at the time that it filmed the first original movie, I might add. Yeah. Not original concept by any means. But,
no. Very derivative. But
all you guys need now is someone who is a genius at computer graphics and animation. Where will we ever find someone like that?
What?
Mm. Oh, I got nothing.
Because there is another third film. It's called... But they ever actually still on an official title? Is it?
Yeah, it's what's on
Avian Nation.
Avian Nation.
Or, Bird of Prey.
Yeah, Bird of Prey. Yeah, they kept both titles. Yeah. We like them both, so it's got a subtitle.
The working title is Chicken Predator. Because you say that, that's a basic concept.
Take the Predator movie and insert a guy with a chicken
mask. Make
him
a chicken.
Yeah, a guy with a chicken head.
You're not a man, you're a chicken, boo.
That one itself was a lot of fun. We shot that, and that's one that we've talked about before that had the mythical live fire shot, where screw this using blanks and shit stuff.
Well, who could get blanks? I mean, come on. You know, blanks are a trouble to find, and they're expensive and whatever. But you've got bullets already. Just don't point them at anybody.
Go out into the woods, find a creek bank, and shoot into it.
Which is what we did.
With creative angles. And it actually worked very, very well.
And nobody died.
And hopefully very few ricochets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. None that we were aware of.
Sadly, I missed that day. I'm
2 miles off. Ow!
I don't think anything that quite that high-powered.
Well.
That you were... That you knew of
anyway. That we'll admit to anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dick Tracy, Green Hornet, you know, you see a lot of these films like Batman Predator, crap like that. We did that 20 years before.
Yeah. Yeah, we were really cutting edge, just nobody knew it.
See,
yeah.
If you would have known me back then, granted,
it's hard
I would
to
have been
that kind of stuff
12.
Out at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah, there was no outlet.
Yeah, there is no
way to
internet.
Publish it or anything mm-hmm. like that or distribute it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure lots of folks did that, you know, get... Folks back in the 60s with 8mm shot Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're talking about Spielberg, I think, was, you know, doing his World War II movies where they would, you know, have the board they would step on that would all the little things to the bullet. They would look like bullets hitting, and their dad got them on a junk military base so they could sit in the cockpit of a fighter plane so they could film
cool.
the kids, you know.
Banking,
yeah.
That's cool.
The camera would move to look like the kid piloting the plane would be moving. Then they do stock footage of a, you know, dogfight.
Yeah.
So, So what happened to you guys? So no Spielberg, Lucas, what?
Lack of work ethic.
Oh,
there's that. But then, you know, Indiana's not exactly the hotbed of film production.
Yeah, Jeffersonville's not exactly a film capital of.
Yeah,
although there's been lots of stuff filmed there before. Yeah.
None of
All
us were
you.
Really independently wealthy, you know.
No, there's that.
I mean, when you see what we did with practically nothing, I mean, it's pretty cool, I think. But you know,
it's good, you know, without that knowledge, and then you know, having now seen it. With this knowledge in mind, you know, even in today's, you know, more technologically advanced age, people will be hard pressed to write this, perform it,
oh, yeah.
get it all set up, you know, and do a whole lot better.
Now, Scott, I think, did a good job. He played Dick Tracy.
Yeah, uh-huh. he's tall, and he kind of got the clean kind of cut look.
Square jaw and...
Being a clean cut, that was one of the hardest parts for me, is I had to shave. Every time we were going to film, I was like, I got to shave.
Yeah, you kind of got the wild man look
going
right
I'm
now.
Yeah, I'm going for the Grizzly Adams now.
Yeah,
but
just in time for the warm weather to
I know.
Start.
Well, yeah, I'll have to start again next winter. I'll have to go ahead and shave it off. But it was difficult because, you know, you just shot whenever you could, you know, and it took a long time to get the thing done.
A lot of stuff you didn't know till the day of. Okay, who all can get together? All right, we got this. Okay, we'll shoot these pages.
So it was like, oh, I'd grow my beard out, even though it was always short. You know, I'd grow it out, and then, oh, I got to shave and record again. And then I'd grow it out. Oh, I got to shave. I always hated that.
But,
you know, I wanted to be authentic for the character because, you know, Green Hornet doesn't have a beard.
One of the things about Dick Tracy is he has all kinds of colorful villains in everything. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, dude. You didn't want to talk about casting. You didn't nailed it with Mumbles.
Yeah, Mumbles did a great job. He really, really worked with us and gave us.
I don't know how much you want to go into on that, but yeah, it was.
I think we had a really good cast. I mean, everybody that played a villain, including Brad. Like I said, we had...
more of the comedic villain kind of stuff.
Sean, who was Buzz, and Brad, who was Axel, and we had Ron, who was Mumbles. And
he
then
was
we had
Toadie. You were Toadie.
Pretty
then
much,
we had Clay, who was
Curly.
Curly, the pizza's here guy.
Pizza's here, yeah. Quite a few of our phrases and crap carry over from stuff like that.
We're always quoting our own movies because no one else will get it. You know, it's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. Pizza! Every time we get a pizza, but, yeah.
And, of course, the driving factor behind it all was really Chris. Mm-hmm. Chris Dufour, who, you know, took my idea and ran with it and wrote the thing and directed it, and he played Slim Jim Kowalski.
I gotta say, he rocked the villain thing, the sleazy villain thing, pretty damn good.
He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And in the previous movies, he played Indiana Jones.
Aw.
Hmm.
He also did a cameo as John the Baptist, but that's another story.
I can see that.
Yeah. Have you seen that one?
Oh, this is the only one I've seen.
No.
That's something for 300 now.
But we did, we did have a lot of fun on that. And let's see if we can get the drama that maybe put up on the torrent site or something. Well, then we
can be embarrassed to the rest of the world.
You did a good job.
Dude, look at me when I was young. And
we've done 200 episodes of this show. So,
there's no dignity left.
Yeah.
The problem is, I'd have to seed it myself because we wouldn't have enough seeds.
Yeah.
Aww.
Or you'd have to seed it too, and everybody had to leave their stuff running.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. And we actually had a preview attraction on the DVD with the Avian Nation trailer.
So, yeah, Scott, back in 2007, I guess, edited together a trailer for that. The movie's never been... It was shot, and actually years later they went back and did the special effects, but it's never been edited together.
Yeah,
that breaks my heart that you put in all that work.
Even some footage, other footage. He pulled a Lucas and filmed some other stuff.
He remastered it.
The corn ruffler, because there's a shot of where it's supposedly this chicken predator is going through a cornfield, and... You know, you see the corn going to the sides and everything, and that's Scott's kid.
I like it.
Scott wasn't even married at the time we shot the movie.
But he got to be in the movie, in spirit at least.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Being the creature running through the cornfields. So.
Yeah, so that one was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping one of these days, Scott is a teacher now, and I'm really hoping that one of these summers when he has the time off that he will edit this thing together, because he... picked out the music ahead of time and everything and knew what he wanted to do. So I was a video editor for nearly a decade. I at one time had a rig at home where I could do all that and had toyed with the idea of editing it, but I was like, Scott wrote that movie. He shot the scenes with the music in mind and everything, and I'm going to come in and just totally do something different, you know, so I want him to finish it.
Well, at least he's digitized it so that it doesn't degrade any further.
That's good.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I would say Dick Tracy, Green Hornet, check it out if you can. But sadly, this guilty pleasure.
Maybe someday on Netflix.
Yeah, right. No.
Live streaming.
No, but we might be able to get the Avian Nation trailer up on YouTube because it's under 10 minutes.
Yeah, we could do that. If Scott was cool with it, we'll run it back.
I don't see why not either. Or was there ever a trailer for Dick Tracy Green Hornet?
I made one. I did edit together a commercial. I don't know where the heck it is, but I did a commercial and I put some special effects on it and everything.
Because if you have that file...
No. I have a VHS of it somewhere.
Okay. No, I didn't know if you had digitized it or whatever.
No.
But if you could come out and get that digitized, we can... at least put that up on the YouTube channel or something.
Using cutting edge of the day, I did a nice green effect and a posterization on it and did a little commercial for it way back in when I was working at Channel 32 in the edit suite one night when nobody was looking.
It was really boring.
Nobody was looking.
Yeah, we're going to fire you now.
Yeah.
I think that was a network ago one.
Yeah. So, that'd be neat to find that trailer and get it digitized. I wouldn't mind putting that out there.
Yeah, because I can pull the VOB and try and get that converted. It won't be for a while because,
Kind of moving,
yeah.
Yeah.
It won't take that long.
But you guys survived, right?
Yes, we did.
Oh, that was so much less painless. Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't say painless. It wasn't painless for us because we did it.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah. Different little stunts, Brad. Some of that couch stunt was.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was impressive.
No, the couch jumping over the side of,
and then leaping onto the floor.
Over the back of the couch, onto the cushion, off the cushion, on the floor.
Yeah, there's one scene where I'm pacing behind the couch and Sloppy Joe Gambino says, "Quit pacing!
Sit
down!" So I jump over the back of the couch onto the couch.
Indian style.
Yeah, Indians and land sitting Indian style. And right as they beat, he's sitting, not on the couch. So while I'm still having time to bounce, I managed to push myself off the couch and land Indian style on the floor.
The hardwood floor.
On the hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ouch.
Yeah, younger.
You could just tell the jar of that hit. His whole body kind of reverberated
a little
bit.
Tiny wiry thing.
Yeah.
So it was...
My God.
It was... We did crazy stuff. The running gag of every time Slim Jim stands up, window shade behind him goes up.
Sloppy
that was
Joe.
Pretty funny.
Purely...
Sloppy Joe.
Purely,
no, we
purely
did it for
diet.
Slim Jim once, too.
Oh, yeah,
it
right.
It did it for him,
once
too.
Once he was the boss.
Yeah.
You know, when he took control. Then, yeah.
Purely by accident, the first time we were filming it happened, almost somebody bumped it or whatever, and it just flies up. Like, that's funny. So we moved all the couches out like a foot from the window, and usually it was me behind the couch.
A little wire thing.
Hank's crouching down or laying down on the floor, and every time it's cue to stand up, I'd let the window shade go. But yeah, these little goofy shit that we would do.
And me, one of the few times I've worn a suit in my life, I happened to be on video. When I was Britt Reed at the beginning of the movie. Wearing a vest.
I know, the vest and everything.
Rocking the vest.
Rocking
the
vest.
Doctor. No, that was the other movie.
That was the other movie where I was the doctor.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, you know, have fun. If you have a video camera handy, have some fun. Film some stuff.
If you have a video, send it to us. We want to see.
Yeah. Why the hell not? Fan films. Or, you know, put it up on YouTube.
Send us the link.
Yeah, send us the link. And we'll check it out. So, enough embarrassing ourselves for episode 200?
Oh, well, no, that's enough.
All right. And we will be back with more pod culture. Right after we dig the horror that is the 80s out of our minds.
Oh. Oh,
and the Green Hornet is still at large.
Oh, boy, we are back.
Indeed we are.
And Adam,
yes.
You have something that might be...
Edible?
Well, let's just say
might be one
of
the weirder
of
things
stuff.
That we've had in a while.
I'm so intrigued.
Yeah, that's it, dude. I've seen horror movies that kind of start out like this.
Well, I was at ThinkGeek.com, and I was you know, jonesing for some freeze-dried ice cream.
No pun intended.
Yeah, jonesing for some soda. No. I ordered some freeze-dried ice cream, astronaut ice cream. I was like, I need something else. I really would like to try something new, maybe something off the beaten path. So
you got something from the beaten path?
Pretty much. It may grow alongside the beaten path. I picked up some wild hibiscus, edible wild hibiscus flowers in syrup. So they... come in this little jar, and apparently they're handmade and packed in Australia.
Crikey!
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, I guess they're mainly used as, like, and they're edible, and you can just, you know, pick them out and eat them if you wanted. And but I guess they're mainly used as, like, garnish for, like, vegetables, or not vegetables, wow. Vegetables, like desserts. Excuse me. Wow, I'm not sure where that came from. For desserts or drinks. Like, you can throw them in, like, a martini or in a champagne flute or something like that.
So you're
going to
have
us
eating
the bottom.
What basically is fancy parsley.
Probably more fancy than that.
Parsley's an herb. Hibiscus is a flower.
Yeah. These are probably, more edible.
The same function as parsley.
Yeah. But apparently they're supposed to taste like raspberry kind of.
Okay.
Sort of. So we'll go ahead and pass these out and make sure you have your drinks ready. With you.
Nah.
I think we're going to be hard pressed to top this one.
If you want
to
just grab that one, they're kind of syrupy.
Are they squishy? Howdy, squishy.
Oh, they're squishy.
They look kind of like alien life forms.
They do.
I'm like, it looks like a pod.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
I thought it looked like a little tiny, head crab. Face crab.
Yeah, it looks dangerous, you know, kind of spiky. And
If you peel away like a petal, though, it's almost like a fruit roll-up.
Yeah. They're kind of translucent. They're it's got the color of like raspberry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
So it's very syrupy smelling, too, but it's very sweet kind of.
Okie
dokie. Too. So,
oh wow!
Get your drink ready.
All right.
Oh wow!
So, here we go. That's not bad.
Oh, for goodness sake! Oh,
he does not like it.
You okay?
Breathe through your nose. Breathe through your nose. Woo!
But did it taste bad, or are you choking?
It did not.
Did not go well, huh?
A texture thing?
Oh, wow.
Probably.
No, texture thing?
Oh, see, I'm taking it apart.
Oh.
You all right?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh. My apologies to the listener.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
I'm sorry.
No. That's right. I don't know what
you made him drink tofurkey and gravy.
Yeah, I've had tofurkey and gravy. Oh.
No.
Breathe.
I think I know Brad's judgment on that one. It's a thumbs down, I think.
It wasn't really even taste, because it didn't taste bad, but it was just something. Just
something about the texture.
Set off the reflex.
Wow. Oh, gosh.
Oh.
I'm trying to put my finger on it. It's raspberry and...
It's something like raspberry and rhubarb, but...
I don't know anything about rhubarb.
I think it's more raspberry.
I think it's good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I think it's really good. It's interesting to think about, like, if I see, you know, the actual flowers now.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. I liked it.
I'm sure that was some sort of safety reflex there, probably.
It might have been.
I think I sprung a rib on that one.
Oh, gosh.
See, to me, it tasted like a fruit roll-up.
Yeah, a little bit.
It had the texture of a fruit roll-up.
I mean, it's like a soggy fruit roll-up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just nibbling mine. It's.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's
okay.
It's all right. It's not something I'm probably going to get ever again.
I'm going to go into shock now because that was all real sugar. But
yeah.
Wow. No, I thought it was good.
Dang, man, you're right.
drink some pop.
Yeah,
it was almost death by geek cuisine there.
Well, I'm sure Ashley's high fiving somebody there somewhere.
I didn't mean to kill you.
No. I mean, it's.
He almost threw up when he ate sushi too. So
yeah, it would. It's very much that same kind of
texture.
Reaction. Oh, okay. I can see where you're getting like from the sushi.
And it wasn't so much the taste of the sushi, but like the seaweed,
the texture,
wrap.
The seaweed.
Yeah,
the,
okay. I can see.
It was. Like,
I can see there are similarities then. Yeah. Okay.
That was really
interesting. I understand now.
It does look like some sort of alien parasite, though.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just watched too many sci-fi movies and my geekness was trying to protect me.
That's possible.
The ingredients are the hibiscus flower, sugar, and water. Yep. So it's totally 100% natural, 100%.
And no like added flavoring.
Occurs in nature, which is probably why you didn't like it.
It wasn't.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I mean, I'm kidding.
Hey, I'll eat raw sugar, by God, and that's from nature. But the taste wasn't bad.
It was a texture thing.
I'm not even sure it was a texture. It was just.
I think you expect it to be one kind of texture, and it's not.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's because I was expecting it to be something else than it was.
You're expecting softer. You're thinking flour. You're thinking soft and silky, and it's not. It's harder and rubbery.
Yeah, it's kind of a rubbery.
Yeah.
But it's good. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's got these little spikes.
Yeah.
Luckily, they're rubbery.
Yeah.
Rubber
spikes. So there you go, 100%
definitely
natural.
Definitely worth trying.
Yeah,
it's definitely unique.
I can't say thumbs down, but it just...
If you don't like the texture of seaweed and sushi, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
if it doesn't bother you, go for it.
And it's one thing. I've tried it. It just
you tried it.
Not like me.
It did not like you.
It's better than parsley.
It is better than parsley.
It tasted better than Brussels sprout soda.
I'll have to try to put them in like a drink or something
and see
like
how
that.
It looks like.
Yeah. Like maybe like a glass of champagne flute.
Or ginger ale.
Yeah.
Or ginger ale.
It would sweeten up ginger ale. Like,
oh,
really,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be kind of good.
Hey, it's my Geek Cuisine Labs.
Yeah.
Kind of neat, you know.
Yeah.
That's one of a kind. Yeah, I like that. I
feel bad that he went to all that and I damn near turned myself inside out.
Well, they won't go to waste, so I'll probably end up eating them or I don't know. I'll experiment on my friends.
Yeah.
Record it.
Yeah, okay.
Colin.
Because that went well when you did the turkey and the gravy soda.
That was funny.
That was good.
And yes, they still talk to you?
Yes.
Rock on.
They still, for some reason.
Alrighty. What was that? What was that one more time there, Adam?
It was edible wild hibiscus. You can get them at thinkgeek.com.
There you go. Try it and have an adventure of your own. And we will be back with more of Pod Culture right after I find the stomach pump.
Yeah. Oh, boo.
Where you left it after the last Geek Cuisine.
Oh. Yeah, really.
Oh, that's right.
Here it is.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
In sweetest day, in sourest night, no Aww. Geek cuisine shall escape our sight.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you like it?
Not bad. Not bad.
Half a point.
I was inspired by this geek cuisine.
Half a point.
And we have moldy candy. No, it's not moldy. This is...
It's not really candy. It's,
yeah.
It's a sweet or cake or a...
Well, as Glenn put it prior to recording, we have Green Lantern's fuzzy balls.
It should be in the title.
If your balls are green and fuzzy, maybe you should see your Owen.
Consult your physician.
Go see Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think if your balls are green and fuzzy, it's more like Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom, yeah. I was trying to stay in the DC universe.
I know. Well, this is
Dr. Fate has been played by Oded Fehr in Justice League Unlimited, so I will take him, please.
Okay. Right. What is all this craziness about? We are here with Hostess Glowballs.
Mm. Electric green.
Yeah, electric green, and apparently...
Tighten up your mic there, sir.
Yeah.
It's all right. Of course, we had to get these because, you know, they're funky colors, so we had to try them. But not only that, very fitting for the Pod Culture Studio, they have Green Lantern on the box.
And they're green. Mm-hmm.
And they're bright green.
Very, oh, yeah.
Very green.
I mean, they are like, it looks like they're covered in AstroTurf.
It does.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yep.
Like a tennis ball.
They are coconut and marshmallow covered chocolate cake with creamy filling.
They have the consistency of a triple.
Have you eaten triple before?
It's a punk rock triple.
Yeah,
it's a delicacy.
Yeah, triples taste like chicken. What the hell did you do
here? Question this right here.
What is it?
Mine is a little bit more fuzzy.
Oh.
Than that's making me actually worried. Can you see that? Can you see? And especially right here, I'm not sure if that's
a marshmallow, dude.
It looks like it's cotton.
All right, I think on that note, this will be the very first geek.
Oh, dude, because I actually peeled the little hat off mine.
Yeah,
I don't. I just.
Yeah.
Looks like mold to me.
Yeah. I think this is going to be the very. I'm not 100% certain, but you know what they say, when in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah. And from what happened to me last week.
Oh, he got icky poo.
Yeah. So I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
So what about building up your endurance?
Yeah.
So this will be the very first geek cuisine that none of us will eat.
Yeah.
All right. And we will with more of the show right after we go, ew!